for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Friday afternoon service of July the 5th, 1996, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey is the speaker for the afternoon.
Sister Coffey is going to come and minister this afternoon, and she doesn't have any trouble standing behind these mics like some of the rest of us maybe do. I don't have too much problem, but some of the fellows do. Come on, Sister Mildred.
Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. I do pretty good by standing behind them here, but my house, I'm down, in my church, I'm down the aisle, well, on this aisle. We had the mission come in, I said this before, on Sunday night, and I have to get down there and preach to them women. There are a lot of women off the street, and if they go to acting like children, I go back there and treat them like them. I'll just close down right back, go back there and then point at them and then preach to them. They love me, though. They say they do, so I don't know. But they know I do love them, so I praise the Lord. I was sitting here this morning when my husband got up to pray on the offering and talked about forgiveness or something. I forgot what he said. I did hear it because the Lord began to talk to me about it. And I know that Carol had prayed for unforgiveness last night, but I'm going to teach on unforgiveness because we forgive with our mouth sometimes and not with our heart. We say, I forgive you, and deep down inside, we're not really ready to turn it loose. And, you know, it just brings, we walk in so much hurt. We walk in bitterness. You say, no, I don't. Well, it comes out our mouths all the time. You can say anything. You can tell me anything. We say it at the church, so when they bring those mission people out on Sunday night, they bring them out on the bus. They have the right words. I'm blessed. Say, how you doing tonight, girls? Oh, we're blessed. And they know exactly what to say. And we're like that. I'm okay. But deep down inside, somebody has hurt me, and I'm hurting. I'm crying inside, but I don't dare tell you that I'm hurting inside. And so tonight, this afternoon, I want us to go, and I'm doing this, as the Lord told me this morning. He said the hurt and men and women, husbands and wives, are real good at hurting each other, but we hurt each other. We talk. You know, you can use the wrong tone of voice with someone and hurt their feelings. You said, as George said, you ought to be dead. Well, we're not. I wish we were. And because we're not dead yet, and we haven't yet arrived at that place, and we're working on it, but I think for us to really get where we can be dead, we've got to get rid of the pain inside. Now, I've seen some of you shaking your head and agreeing with me. Some of you are not going to do it, not going to agree with me because your husband's sitting beside you. But I have heard men right here in this building talk ugly. Well, not just ugly to the wives, but the tone of voice they used. I cringed. It hurt me. And they weren't even talking to me. And it hurts me when somebody does that to me. You say, you shouldn't be so sensitive. Well, listen, let's start loving one another, and we won't talk to one another like that. But the reason I want to do this afternoon is that we do this sometimes, and we don't think a thing about it, and we need to begin to check upon ourselves and to ask people to forgive us when we wound them. Are any of y'all hearing what I say? I know that we want to walk in love, and I'm going to end up with the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Lord willing, to have the time. But as I was sitting there this morning, and God began to talk to me, and he began to show me wounds, even in my own life, and how I've hurt people. And so I said, Lord, I'm going to share on that this afternoon. I know we've had a lot said on forgiveness, but I titled my message, Forgiveness or No Forgiveness. We either forgive someone or we're holding, we forgive with our mouth, but we don't forgive with a heart. And we sometimes, when we talk to people and say, I want you to forgive me, we really want to say, well, I wasn't wrong. I mean, really, this is what we're saying, you know, because they've been offended, and we say, anyways, we'll get into it as we go. So if you will, open your Bibles this afternoon in Matthew's Gospel. You know, the wounded spirit, you know, the scripture says, a wounded spirit, who can bear it? How do you wound that spirit? You wound it with words. We speak words, actions. You know, we talk about control, how people control one another. Husbands control wives, or wives control husbands, or children control mothers and fathers. But, you know, we can control people with our looks and our actions. We never have to say a word sometimes. And yet that hurts. And, you know, if for us to get rid of all of this garbage that we've carried around, the wounded spirit, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, the rejection, and really what it all boils down to, it makes us feel so rejected. Can anybody agree with what I'm saying? That it hurts. And, you know, the Lord taught me years ago in the area of forgiveness that when we forgive someone, I had a lady call me on the phone, and she was telling me, I just can't forgive them. I can't. And I said, I told her, what does the word say? And as I was praying with her and telling her she had to forgive, I said, the Bible tells us, and this is what the Lord spoke to me, was that when we forgive, we remember it no more. And if you are continually bringing up what someone did to you, you have not forgiven. You have not forgiven. God said He forgives us our sins and He remembers them no more. So I'm going to take you through scriptures that are familiar, but as I take them, I pray that the Lord will begin to open within us old things that we have covered up, of times that we've been hurt and have not forgiven someone, that we will begin to make it right. So in our hearts, you know, I can forgive everybody. This is what most people say. I just forgive everybody. Well, that's wonderful. But how are you feeling inside about what someone said to you, or someone took your husband away, they stole your husband? Well, I forgave them. But inside you're hurt, you're wounded, you're bitter. And so I want us to really look at forgiveness this afternoon, of forgiving a person the way God has forgiven us. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and I think, I don't know how many times I've heard this read this week, verse 12 says, when the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. And he said to them, well, I'm going to start with verse 9. He said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our fathers which are in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And some of us have been forgiven lots of debts. Every debt we ever owed, God, the Lord Jesus paid for upon the cross, right? And God, we're holding debts against others. And Jesus said, forgive our debtors as we've been forgiven. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know, forgiveness, I mean real forgiveness, is the beginning of healing. I don't care what it is in your heart, what kind of sickness is in your body. When you truly begin to forgive, it's the beginning of healing, and it begins from the deepest part of you, the healing does. Because without forgiveness, without forgiving others that have wounded you and hurt you, you're not going to believe God's going to heal you. Go over to Mark 11. all of you know, as I said, you know the scripture. I hear my husband say this a lot in the church, and I said, you know, we don't really have to say that, but I like to say it. We say it anyways. He and I both do. So, you know these scriptures, you know them by your head, but we need them down in our heart. And in Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 22, and Jesus answering said to the disciples, when they spoke to the, Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and he told the fig tree said, he went to the fig tree to get fruit. It had leaves on it, and it should have had fruit. And when he spoke to it, he said, no one will eat fruit from you henceforth forever. And when the disciples came back the next day or whenever, they said, look, Lord, the tree's dead. You spoke to it, and it died. And Jesus said, answering, said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Jesus said, if you believe what you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say if you doubt not in your heart. But if we have unforgiveness in our heart, we are not going to be able to believe. When we pray and ask God, that unforgiveness within us, you may not even recognize it as unforgiveness, but it's there. There's just something there that is blocking your believing God. And he said, but if you doubt not in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And then he goes on to say, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe. Believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And we have heard that message, and man, it was great. We were going to pray and believe God for Cadillacs. We're going to lay hands on the sick and believe they're healed. But if we're not walking where we say we're walking, when we lay hands on the sick, the enemy is going to block us from believing for them to be healed. Have you ever laid hands on someone? And you know the word says that lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. But deep down in you, there's something in you saying, well, you know, this wound in me, I've asked God to heal me and I'm not healed, so I'm not real sure he's going to heal them. Now, we wouldn't voice that, but we think it. Sometimes we pray prayers that we know don't go any further than the ceiling. Because the heart's not right. When our heart is right, you can stand and believe. You can believe the word and know that it works when you are right between you and God. And let me tell you something. If I see somebody walking around doing the things that they shouldn't do and then getting up and preaching and saying all things that we like to hear, I don't even believe them because I've watched them and knew their heart wasn't right when they were talking to other people and saying things to others and wounding them. And then they get up here and say, I'm not saying just here, I mean, they get up in a pulpit and they say, they tell us what to do. And I want to say, now you start doing what you say, and then I'll believe you. What did someone said? We're the epistle that the world reads. The scripture says that. You are the epistle read of all men. And in other words, what we say speaks so loud, what we say, what we are speaks so loud that the people of the world can't hear what we're saying. What we are, the way we act, the way we walk around, and if the world does not see us walking in love and to one another, what is it? What's the saying that the Christians are the only army that kills its wounded? And when we begin to walk in love and forgiveness, you know, Jesus said our words are spirit in their life, and they are. When we say something bitter and hateful to someone, and I'm using this simply because I'm going to get on some other things, but I see this happening so much, and it grieves my spirit. It hurts me. If my husband, I was telling someone this afternoon, my husband has a little problem with hearing sometimes, and he talks a little harsh, it hurts my feelings. He doesn't even know he talks to me, and I'm sure I'll do the same thing with him. But, you know, we need to really take stock of how we talk to one another. Mighty quiet in here. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have it. And when you stand praying, forgive. See, there's a condition to everything you're going to receive from God. And if you stand praying and you've got unforgiveness and bitterness against someone in your heart, you're not going to get what you're praying for. It's because your heart's not right. That's what he's saying. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. If we do not forgive, God will turn us over to the tormentors. But I'll give you a scripture on healing. It says over in Psalms 103 and verse 3, who forgiveth, verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And see, I see in this scripture that without forgiving, we're not going to get our diseases healed. He forgives all of our iniquities. He's forgiven all of our sin. He's forgiven all the things we do. So if we hold aught against anyone in our heart, you know, the thing that most people seem to think, I deal with this when we get into abuse of any kind of abuse, mental, physical, or sexual, or spiritual abuse that people have gone through where they've been abused and kicked out of churches and all of this, and they'll say, I can't forgive them. I said, you have to. But you don't know what they did. It doesn't matter what they did. And they seem to think that when we say we forgive them, that what they did was okay. See, we're not their judge. And I've had girls that I've ministered to say, I can't forgive the one that abused me. I had one girl tell me she couldn't forgive her mother. Her mother abused her. I don't know where physical. The Lord didn't tell me. She didn't tell me. It wasn't my business. Everybody in the camp didn't have to know. And she says, I can't forgive my mother. And she screamed at me, I won't forgive her. And when I say I won't, see, it's when you say you can't, you're saying I won't. And she would just said she wouldn't. You know, we say I can't, but what we're saying, your forgiveness is an act of your will. I will forgive or I won't. God gave us a will. And it's up to us to do it. And this little girl said, everybody's a little girl to me. The older I get, I said, the younger they all get. But she's married and had kids. And she's sitting in my house one night, and we were trying to pray for her, minister to her. And she had all this all against her mother. And she says, I won't forgive her. And I said, well, honey, until you forgive her, we can't do deliverance on you because you have to forgive her. And she says, I won't. You don't know what she did to me. And I said, doesn't matter. I said, God does, and God deal with your mother. I said, let's just ask the Lord to bless her. And then I had to get her to say she was willing to let God forgive through her. I said, just ask God to forgive her through you. So sometimes the hurts are deep, and then we start off with saying, Lord, you forgive her through me until I can forgive her. And so as we ministered to her, she finally said, I do forgive her. She said, I love my mother. And so we love people, but we hurt the ones. But who can hurt you the most, though? Your children or your husband or your wife. And so God says, let's forgive them so we might be healed. Verse 12 says that God has forgiven us and carried our sins as far as the east is from the west. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. God has forgiven us everything when Jesus went to the cross. And he took our transgressions. I like to use the scripture when Psalms is that he planted them in the deepest part of the sea. And then I add, and I'm not supposed to add to the word, but it's in my own words that I was saying he did it. He puts a no fishing sign up over where he buried my sins. Nobody's going to fish and bring them back out. Praise the Lord. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. As we're going through these, ask the Father to show you those deep, hidden hurts that you've covered up, those unforgiveness, maybe goes back to your mother or father. I was teaching on this one time in our church, and I was preparing for it, and I was praying. I had two sisters when I was growing up, and I was the baby, and I was a lot younger than they were. And I remember how I used to pick at my oldest sister. And she had made some cookies one time, and she forgot to put milk in them. And I was just making all kinds of fun of her. And they were so hard, you know, they were like rocks. And she threw one at me. And it was so hard, it hit me and cut my head. It literally did. And I had this little scar up there. And the Lord was reminding me when I was teaching this, he said, you never forgave her for that. And I was a long time ago. And so I said, Lord, I just forgive her. And I asked you to forgive me for holding unforgiveness against her. Because, you know, the word says it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. And so when we want to clean up every part, you say, well, you were going fishing. No, the Lord brought it to me. I had totally forgotten it. But he will do this if we really want to clean up everything in us that would block us from receiving all that God has for us. So, and especially in the area of deliverance, sometimes when you get into deliverance, all these things will really begin to come forth. But over in Ephesians, in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, I was going to read the last part of the chapter, but I decided to start with verse 23. And he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So if we're going to put on that new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, we are going to have to clean it up. And all of it starts with forgiveness. All those hurts and wounds in the spirit. I'd always heard people say, preachers talk and say, you know, you can't touch the spirit. You can touch the every part of man but the spirit. But you read Proverbs, it talks about the wounds in the spirit all the time. And there are wounds in our spirit that needs to be healed. And I believe as we begin to forgive, we will receive the healing for our wounds that are there. And he said, wherefore putting away lying? Oh, well, we don't lie, do we? Oh, no. How are you today? I'm fine. Put away. That's just one of the small things. And, of course, nobody really wants to know how you are. And you know, they call it, they don't want your history of sickness. So we quit asking. We cover it up by saying, I'm fine. And in Christ Jesus, we are. Let's do it the way the Word says. I'm in Christ Jesus, and therefore I'm okay. But we do. We tell. What reason I was using this was, we really need to stop lying and be honest. You know, the little foxes spoil the vine, but also open the door for those big whoppers that come after us, too. Those demons that are coming at us, you know, those curses have been sent to us. We need to be honest. And we need to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth. I guess I'm a little, I always say I speak plainly. I tell it like it is. And I tell most about myself. But, you know, we cover up so much. God wants us to be honest. And if you hurt, you say you hurt. They told me when I was believing for healing from my back that I was lying. I ruptured a disc. And I wasn't lying. I was in real bad pain for a while. But I would quote what the Word said. And I said, by His stripes I'm healed. The Word says, by His stripes I'm healed. And one man looked at me and said, you're lying. I said, no, I'm not. I'm saying what the Word said. The Word says, I'm healed. By His stripes, I am. So when they ask you, that's just how you are. Instead of be honest, speak the truth in love. Not to hurt someone, but and not to judge, but speak it in love. And let me see if I'm a place. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. And boy, we've really used that. We've worn that one out. I can just get mad and throw all kinds of tantrums, but I'm being angry and sinning not. And that wasn't what God said. I can get angry and sin not. The Word says, be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down on your wrath. When you do that, you need to stop right then and repent and ask forgiveness of whoever you clobbered. And when we're angry, we always clobber somebody. And you know what I'm saying? We lowered the boom on someone. And we opened the door for the enemy. And I always use this. It's just righteous indignation. I get you. Praise the Lord. But we need to confess our sins. When we're angry with someone, he says, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Men and women that are smarting off and hurting each other's feelings before you go to bed tonight, you need to repent to one another and to God. Don't let the sun, don't go to bed angry. If you do, you're going to get up in a real bad humor the next morning, and you're going to wish you had obeyed the word of God. Said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. I was writing a list of spirits I wanted to call off afterwards, and I put down stealing. You know, we steal. We steal from God. We steal from one another. We steal God's money. We steal one another's time. We steal their character when we lambast them with our mouth behind their back. Are you hearing me? I'm putting my fingers, y'all. But look, I got three coming back at me. So, somebody lay hands on him suddenly, would you? Praise the Lord. I love it. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's begin that one again. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And we need to give to the one around us that has the need. We need to be dodoers of this word and not hearers only. Neither give place to the devil. All the things that we do in this area, we give place to the devil.
She went on past one of the scriptures there before I could get here. When she spoke on repentance. In repentance, we need to confess our sins. 1 John 1:9.
I'm going to that scripture.
Well, I don't want to get in her way then. But I want to say this then, because she won't tell you this. The word confess is in there. That don't mean to mouth it. That don't mean just to speak it forth. If you look that word confess up, it will mean for you to look at it just the way God looks at it. And I want you to, I didn't know she was going to use it, but I didn't want to, I hate to get in her messages. But I want you to understand that if we confess our sins, we look at it in exactly the same manner that God looks at it, and God hates sin.
Amen.
And that means we hate sin, whatever we're doing, and we turn away from it.
Okay. Verse 27, it says, neither give place to the devil. All the things that I was just talking about opens the door and gives place to the devil. For him to attack, for him to get into our thoughts, and for him to be the accuser that accuses us. And then he says, verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. And we wonder sometimes why we're not hearing from God. Well, I prayed and prayed, and I didn't get an answer. But maybe we need to back up and see. I think Brother George said this morning, go back. You're going to have to go back to where you first messed up. God's not going to say it's okay and then tell you to go on. So we try to get God to do like we want him to. You know, God's not going to do what we want to. He doesn't change his word for us, nor any part of his being for us. We're the ones that have got to change him. He said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. When we grieve him, he will not talk to you. And we need to go back and repent. We need to go back and confess our sins, that what we have done, and ask him to forgive us. Did you ever ask the Holy Spirit to forgive you for grieving him? Did you ever do that? He said, well, I don't pray the Holy Spirit. I didn't say pray to him. I said ask him to forgive you, because we grieve him. You know, the scripture tells us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And in my understanding, that none of the three Godheads are jealous of one another. And when the Holy Spirit that lives within you, and you want him to lead you and guide you and to direct your way, if you grieve him, he's not going to talk to you. We need to recognize who lives in us and who goes with us and who's there watching us, all the things we do and say. He's right there. He sees everything and hears everything we say and do. And verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Then back again to the same scripture I started with. Forgive as Christ has forgiven us. As He's forgiven us, we have to forgive one another. We have to be tender-hearted and kind. And we have to get rid of the bitterness and the unforgiveness, the anger and the wrath. And as I shared, I think I shared upstairs with the ladies the other day, that the anger and the wrath comes from jealousy. And there is so much jealousy in the body of Christ. Because we came through the charismatic bunch where everybody was supposed to be ministers. Wasn't that the way it was? You know, you've called, everybody's called. And whether God called us or not, yeah, we are ministers. We have the ministry of reconciliation, of ministering reconciliation between God and man, to bring men and women to Jesus Christ. But God didn't call everybody to stand up in front of the pulpit and lead singing, or to preach, or to do whatever the ones up front do. And so there's a lot of jealousy and envy there. And sometimes when someone's singing or preaching and we're sitting back there, we're so mad. Why I can do that? But maybe we don't say that, but, you know, it's jealousy there. None of us like to admit we're jealous. I always thought when you got jealous, you're jealous because your husband was looking at some other woman, or some other woman was looking at your husband. And I never put it, never really understood that jealousy is the root of a lot of things in our lives, too. And over in Proverbs 6:34, I think it is, it says that it talks about a wrath and anger. And here we see it again. He says, Paul is telling us to be kind one to another. Put away all the bitterness. Bitterness is the root of a lot of sickness. Anger is the root of a lot of physical things. So, okay, let's go on. Over in 1 John, let's go to 1 John. 1 John 1:9. And this scripture, if you do a lot of repenting and confessing your sin, I quote it. I say, Lord, your word says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you know what we do most of the time when we confess sin? We're confessing our husband's sin or our wife's sin. Lord, you need to clean them up, Lord. They did this and they caused... See, they're the ones that caused me to do this. You know, that used to be the devil made me do it, but now we say, you know, if you hadn't have done so-and-so, then I wouldn't have done so-and-so. And so this is really the way we go before God and confess our sins. And we need to go before Him and say, God, it's me. I know He sure gets tired of me coming. I keep saying, Lord, here I am again. You know, to confess my sins. I know he would tell me, say, Mildred, grow up and stop messing up, and then you don't have to come and confess. But you know, I want to keep the line open between me and Him, and I'm going to confess. He said, well, you ought to grown past that. Well, I'm not perfect yet. We're still working on it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. First John, now listen to me. Look at your sin. Look at someone you have not forgiven. Look at it. Look at the sin in your life. Look at what you have done. You say, well, I've never done anything. Look at it like God looks at it. I think about when we hurt one another. I thought about the pain that I felt in my heart over some stuff I've heard. I mean, it hurt me. And you know, I really think this is why the Lord was dealing with me about this. That if it hurt me and grieved my spirit like that, what must we be doing to God? We need to look at it, as Jim said, like God looks at us. If we could see ourselves, I know He looks at us through the shed blood of Jesus is the way He looks at us, because God won't look on sin. But the way we were and the way we're wanting to be, we're a long ways from where we want to be. But this is why I really feel that God is trying to say to us this afternoon, let's get rid of the hurt. And we begin getting rid of hurt by forgiving. And so we need to confess. Confess to the Lord, Lord, that hurt me. I'm hurt. They hurt me. And begin to confess the hurt and the way it wounded you. And then ask God to forgive you for holding unforgiveness against them, whoever. You say, well, I'm going to confess all my unforgiveness because I've been in deliverance all this long time. Well, that's wonderful. But I know that there's things, you've confessed everything you've remembered and things that were on top. But let's go at the door opener and confess it. You know, some people hold things in. And then one day they just let it all come out and it comes out, you know, they just bombard you with a double barrel shotgun and tell you all the things you did wrong. Are you one of those? That you hold on to everything that anyone's done to you, and then when you get mad enough, you explode and it all comes out. Going on. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." He said, "Well, I don't hate them. I just don't want anything to do with them." Did you say something? I thought he wanted to say something. I was giving him an opportunity. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. If you don't love him, then you, what's the opposite of love? So he says, then if you don't love him, then you're a murderer. And said, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Jim, get me a drink. We have eternal life abiding in us. Therefore, we have no right to have hold any all against anyone. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. Y'all have to forgive me. I got a tickling in my throat. Chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it has been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? He said, if you just love those that are that love you, the lost people do the same. And probably handkerchief. And he said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Man, that's hard. That's hard. But that's what Jesus said we're to do. And he wouldn't tell us to do it if we couldn't do it. He would not tell us to do anything if we couldn't do it. And what he wants us to do is to walk like he did. You know, Jesus' walk from the very beginning was just to show you and I how to walk. The walk he walked was the walk you and I. And you know, at the end of his walk, he died. And he wants us to die so we can live. And the way we begin is by getting rid of all this garbage that's in us. And we have to begin at the beginning. Pray for them which despitefully use you. My husband taught me this years ago before I when I first received the baptism. He said, if you know someone's using you and you let them because you're serving the Lord, he said, they can't use you. And if they're persecuting you for what you believe, then who did they persecute? They persecuted Jesus. Then you're in real good company. So love them. If they're saying, you're just out of your mind. I said, I'm in my right mind. You know, they say about me, and y'all hear, I'm not really talking all that about demons yet. Everything I said is a demon. They call it, name is a demon. But they say, don't go around her. Says she sees a demon under every rock. And that's not true. There's a whole family under the rock. A whole family. I'm telling you. You never see just one. But that's what they would shy from me. When we were still in the denominational church, if I was walking in the hall and met my friends good friends I'd gone on trips with and eaten meals in their house and they'd eaten my house, they would go into a door in the Sunday school room, keep from meeting me. And a door, what is that? You're right. But you know what? I just knew that I was going on with Jesus, and it just didn't matter. So if they persecute you for what you believe, just love them. That's what Jesus said. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, you're just like the world. In other words, if someone you're loving someone because of what they give you, if you're elevating them because of what how they pat you on the back, let me tell you something. You quit giving them something and they might stick a knife in your back. So don't, you just love them. We're the love people. The people that you love the most usually can hurt you the most because you love them the most. But God said we're to love them and we're to, no matter what they do, we're to forgive them. What does it say? If they hit you, slap you on one cheek, turn the other one. And we need to practice what Jesus told us to do. And that's really the reason I was wanting to share this afternoon, because I want to see the love of God come forth, not by words. You can walk up to me and tell me you love me all day, but if you don't act like it, I don't believe you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And there's a lot of people who say, I just love you. When they tell me that, I usually begin to walk back just a little bit, because I'm going to wait and see if they really do. And their actions will tell me. So this is another way why God is wanting us to walk in love. The word says, we'll know them by their love. Let's go to Matthew 18. I'm not through with unforgiveness yet. I'm still working with it. Matthew 18. Said, well, I forgave them for what they did. And they turned around and did the same thing again. Did you ever have anybody do that to you? We had a lady come into our church. We used to have a pretty good sized church. We're really down now. Small. We're really, you're talking about small, we're small now. But we had a pretty good sized church, and this lady came in our church. She was my manicurist. She used to do my nails. And I told her not to come to our church, and she wouldn't like it. She was Baptist, and I knew she wouldn't like my church. I said, don't come. But the more I told her, don't come, she came. And she came, and she received the baptism while she was there by herself. She wouldn't let anybody pray for her. Nobody's going to handle me. Anyways, we loved her, and we kept her. She stayed with us a good while. But she was going around behind our back, undermining the ministry, saying deliverance was of the devil, that nobody was getting deliverance, that it was all put on, that that's just them doing it, and all this. So we didn't know about this till later, but she had really worked good. And when she left our church, she took 20-something people out of our church, one clip. And we forgave her, and we loved her. And she came back, and she did it to us again. And she came back. We were practicing the word. We forgave her and we loved her and she left again, and she took 23 that time. But that's what the word says. How many times you're supposed to forgive them? Okay, let's read the scripture. Okay, in Matthew 18, in verse 21, it says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times, man. Peter was really being spiritual. Till seven times, Lord. And Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee, unto seven times, not unto thee, but unto seven times, but unto 70 times seven. In other words, Jesus was saying, did you realize that this is in one day? He said, you forgive them 490 times in one day. I think my arithmetic's right. In one day. It is in one day. In other words, regardless of what people do to us, we're to forgive them. We are to forgive.
Scripture also says to mark those that cause division.
Well, we marked her after the second time. And we've not seen her. In fact, this lady... once in a while, I would run into her in a store, and she would dart down the aisle. She was another one that found her quick exits when she saw me coming. She looked at me before she left, and she says, I guess you think I'm full of demons. And I did not say, yes, I think you are. I know you are. I just said, I love you in Jesus. But anyways, praise the Lord. And in the same chapter, in verse 34, Jesus, you know the story about the man that was fixing to be thrown into prison for what he owed, and he went to his master, and he forgave him his debt. But then, you know, he had a great big debt. I mean, I'm not going to read all that, but he had this enormous debt, but his master, his Lord forgave him. And then one of his servants came to him and just owed a small debt, you know, little one. His Lord was telling him about it. And verse 34 says, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not every one of his brothers their trespasses. He said he would turn us over to the tormentors. And the tormentors are demons. They will torment you day and night. When we do not forgive, then we can't expect God to forgive us. Verse 18 in the same chapter tells us, Jesus said, verily, verily, I always wondered, you know, when I was reading this, and I said, Lord, this is real strange. You put this right in the middle of all, when you're talking about the forgiveness. He said, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, if it shall be done to them of my Father which is in heaven. And you know, he was saying here, if whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And you know, we bind with unforgiveness. Over in John 20:23, where it says, whosoever sins you remit are remitted, and whosoever sins you retain are retained. If you'll look those scriptures up, they always give you a reference back to this one. In other words, we're binding people with unforgiveness. When we do not forgive them, we bind them. And I'll tell you something else. You bind yourself to that person. And we also bind them so God can't work in them. When we do not forgive, I just really believe that it works three ways. We bind ourselves to them, bind them to us, and then we bind God where God can't work in us or them either. And this is why forgiveness is so important. And we need to really keep a clean slate. We need to dig deep and dig out all the unforgivenesses there and ask God to reveal it to us and help us to get free from it. You know, I started off as saying, I think I didn't go all the way in it like I want to, that husbands and wives are always wounding one another. Genesis 2, chapter 2, when God created man and woman, and he put them together, in verse 24, he said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. When a man and woman become one flesh, and you know, if we had just really realized that we are one flesh, that when I hold unforgiveness in me, that it would wound him because we are bonded together, one flesh. And if he has unforgiveness, then it works. We're bound to each other and we wound one another. And he can wound me more than anyone else and I can wound him more than anyone else because we are one flesh. And back to the husband and wife. I really believe this is where that so much of the hurts have come, and children. They come from our children and from each other. And God wants us to make it right. He wants us to take care of it. He wants us to cleanse it, to get rid of it. Let me ask you men something. Y'all sitting here saying, I don't know what you're saying, but this is what I'm thinking you're saying. Not me, I don't do that. How hard is it for you to say, I was wrong? Praise the Lord. Forgive me. Do you know women, I really don't think women find it near as hard to say, confess that they were wrong and ask forgiveness as men. How many times, men, have you asked your wife to forgive you? You think about it. And I'm not putting you down. I want you to think about it. Because what I want you to look at is to see how much unforgiveness is really in you. that you would not forgive that you held on to it.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.